Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Cancer cells have only one job, and that job is to survive. They're very much like the healthy cells that we have in the body, which, again, their job is to survive. However, with cancer cells, when you take away the environment that supports their survival, meaning that you eliminate their food source, which is glucose, then what's going to happen is they're not going to be nourished and they're going to die. Interesting way to start the show, isn't it? But what I wanted to do is to start it that way to tell you that my topic today, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, is to talk to you about cancer and to talk to you about what cancer needs in order to be able to thrive and survive, and what we can do just with lifestyle changes, and not major lifestyle changes, but small lifestyle changes that really can not only rob the cancer cells associated with breast cancer, but prostate cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. If you understand what the dynamics of a cancer cell is all about and what it needs to survive, and you take that away, everything changes. Well, thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And I thought, you know, this it really is a perfect time for us to look at the cancer cells, not only from the physical aspect of being associated with breast cancer, but also just look at some of the psychological aspects that we go through and some of those negative attitudes that we have, or that those negative emotions that we carry and bury inside. So as a medical intuitive, I'm going to be sharing not only a lot of research that I did to try to understand the lifespan of a cancer cell, how it literally functions, what it needs in order to grow, and what we can do to change the environment so it can no longer grow, and then healthy cells will grow. And what we can do is we can change the dynamics. But as a medical intuitive, I also look at the emotions, the psychological implications, thoughts or beliefs that we have or emotions that we have, and I'm going to be sharing that as well. One of the things I do want to start off by sharing on the show is that if you go to my website, www.ritberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com, you'll see on my homepage a tab that says teleclass. If you click on that or put your cursor over it, what it will do is it will drop down something called teleclass archives. Click on that page and you will see an icon for breast cancer. And what I encourage you to do is to go in and to click on that if it's something that you're interested in learning more about. Perhaps you've been diagnosed, maybe a mother or a sister or a friend, an aunt, a grandmother has been diagnosed with breast cancer. It is a free downloadable audio recording that I did of a teleclass on breast cancer, and then also an actual printable PDF on breast cancer that talks about, from a clinical standpoint, more in depth of the psychological, what does it look like in the energy field, how does it map in the chakras, and then also the role your personality plays in the way your behaviors associated with it that could increase susceptibility to the development of breast cancer specifically. And then I have a whole laundry list of not only what is done from the standpoint of the allopathic, or what I call conventional medicine, but I have a whole laundry list of alternative therapies and choices that you can make. I'm going to touch a little bit on those today in the show. So again, it is free. You can just go to www.ritberger.com, click on it, and then you can download the audio to your computer, put it on a iPod, your iPod, or what you can do is you can burn it to a CD and then you can print it out and not only read it yourself, but again, please feel free to share it with other people. I'm also going to be taking your calls. And besides doing the research for these shows, I love the taking calls. So if you have a question for me about breast cancer, about any health issue that you're experiencing or even a loved one is experiencing, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. I will be glad to share my medical intuitive skills with you and to be able to answer the questions. So again, that's 877-230-3062. There's an interesting aspect of what I found out in doing the research for this show. And what I found out is not only are there really alternative choices that we have to be able to heal breast cancer. But what I found out in this research is that what we can do is these common sense things are things that we can also do to ensure that we will be able to sustain the good health. The things are real common sense. They can apply to really almost any illness or any kind of discomfort or chronic illness that you have in your body. But again, some of them are specifically for breast cancer. So what we do is if we make these lifestyle changes now, even if you have a family history of breast cancer, then what you can do is by these lifestyle changes, you can actually decrease your chances of developing breast cancer in general. So they're good common sense things that I just kind of stumbled on, truthfully, as I was doing the research. And some of it I'm going to share is research that's been tested. It's tried and true. It isn't the conventional way that has wonderful results. One of the things that kept coming into my mind, and of course, being a medical intuitive, it's always something that's on the forefront. But doing this research on breast cancer, it really came to the top of my mind, is that why is it that it takes something such as cancer or a healing crisis, an illness in the body, whether it's chronic or life-threatening, that really stops us in our tracks and causes us to look at our lifestyle and our quality of life and to use this time of this illness. I mean, illness is a great teacher, to use this time of illness to really go in and be reflective of what is important to us and to learn what is important to us and then to eliminate what in our life doesn't serve us well and then substitute that with the things that create a happy, healthy attitude, a happy, healthy body, a happy, healthy state of mind, and it creates the outcome of happy, healthy emotions. So when I look at illness as a medical intuitive, I really have to peel back all those layers to it to be able to find out where is it in the dynamics of an illness that we could start. And the nice thing about the energy body, the beautiful part about the physical body, is it really doesn't make any difference whether you start at a physical level or a psychological level or even doing energy work. Once you start something, then what will happen is healing will happen. And that process, once started, doesn't stop, even though we may get sidetracked or so forth, or we lose hope or whatever. Our body is always designed to heal itself. So when I ask, why does it take an illness for us to be able to stop in our tracks, look at our life, look at what needs to change? The answer that I came up with is, frankly, that we've grown so accustomed to really reacting and responding to what's happening externally that we don't take the time for us to really get in touch with ourselves. Maybe somebody hurts our feelings, and rather than saying something, you hurt my feelings, and setting some healthy boundaries and providing those guidelines for yourself and for other people, what do we do? Especially as women, we tend to suppress and stuff those emotions. And those, that energetics around those stuffed, suppressed emotions really can create a pre-illness in the energy field that ultimately could surface as illness in the body. So what we've really done is we've just gotten so busy. We're so externally focused that we forget about the internal part. And frankly, my to-do list is always unending. It, you know, constantly things are being added to it. And every so often, my body just basically says to me, Carol, you just need to stop. You need to stop, take a breather, look at what you're doing. Is it for your reason? Is it for others? What do you need to do? Do you need to get up out of that chair after sitting in it for 6 hours writing when your body has been screaming to get you out of it? Do you need to go for a walk? Do you need to go outside and sit in the sunshine? It's time, as we look at the healing and any healing associated with cancer, is that we really do need to step back and look at what we can do to change. And it doesn't have to be major changes. It can be very subtle lifestyle changes that can just shift our perception of our ability to heal and create the quality of life and to attract the abundance we're looking for. As I'm going to go through the show today, I will be sharing different things with you. But before I begin all of that, I really would like to remind you that cancer is a very complex disease, and it is a very life-threatening disease. And so as you're looking at working with it, in your healing team, I really encourage you to find a physician that you are comfortable with, that you can talk with, that will take the time to answer your questions. The other part of it is that even if the cancer, they're not sure what it is, I would like to encourage you to talk to an oncologist. Now, when we say oncologist and we link it with cancer, we immediately go into the panic, oh my gosh, this is life-threatening. But the reason that I always encourage talking to an oncologist is they have a different perception of cancer. They have a different perception of what is needed in the body. They have a phenomenal compassion because they touch life-threatening illnesses on a daily basis. They look at the patient as being a whole person and not just someone that has cancer. And I do a lot of work as a medical intuitive with doctors. And, you know, I'm not anti-doctor. All of you that know that, I'm not anti-medicine, anti-pharmaceuticals. I'm not anti-chemotherapy. If I find in the body when I touch someone, they need it. But what I have found over the course of almost 30 years of doing this work is that the doctors that are really the most in touch with this mortality, this connection with life, and has this fascinating, deep, deep compassion are oncologists. So I encourage you, because cancer is complex, work with a physician. If the physician doesn't answer the questions that you need, doesn't give you that warm, fuzzy feeling, there's nothing wrong with asking for a second opinion. If you don't get it, what you're looking in the second opinion, add a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth. If this is something that's a low-risk cancer, find a doctor you can talk to and say, what can I do before I have to go to these other extremes? And again, be real proactive. And you want a doctor that's proactive, and you want an oncologist, and you want a complete healing team. Maybe it's a massage therapist. Maybe it's a lymphedema, somebody that works with lymphedema. Maybe it's someone that will help you with nutrition. Put together a whole healing team, and then you can have all of them working on the same page. And the reason I say that is that a lot of times I've worked with people that just decided they're not going to work with doctors. They're going to treat this holistically from an alternative perspective. Absolutely, my job is to honor that to the point that that's where their beliefs are. But if I feel like they need to see a doctor, I'm at least going to say that. But one of the things that we found in working with cancer, specifically breast cancer, because of the dynamics of it, is that it's important to that you work with someone in this team that is before you start taking the alternative remedies, because in some cases they can actually worsen the process or cause you to feel more physical malice, as I call it. And so again, it needs to be a whole healing regimen. Find someone, an alternative practitioner that does muscle testing. Keep in touch with your doctors. Let them know what you're doing, especially if they're going to put you on any form of medication, chemotherapy, because the same way that we get interactions with medication, we can get the same thing between supplements and between medications that we're taking. So again, it's just a good idea to really look at your whole healing team and let everybody know what you're doing. Anytime you start a new remedy or you start a new supplement, everybody needs to know what that is. And one of the things that I encourage you to do is to get the emails of the doctors. They're not going to be able to answer your phone calls. They will at some point in time, but when you get into the place where you've got a question, maybe you're afraid, then what you can do, ask them for their email and email your questions. That's a wonderful way, because then they can do it in off times when maybe they're not as tired, or they can have time to think about what you're asking, do a little bit of research. So really create a close connection. And again, not always the phone. You have the receptionist that's going to intervene. That's her job. But what you can do is you can do it from email. So what I really, as a medical intuitive, always encourages is that you really go in and you look at the whole process of how to treat what's happening in your body. And instead of having it conventional and alternative, let's create an integrative or a complementary healing protocol and a plan that can really incorporate everything. And besides that, if you decide to do massage and you've never had one, oh my goodness, you're going to fall in love immediately. If you've never had an ionic foot bath, it's a great way to detox. You're going to fall in love with that immediately. And then you're going to ask yourself, why haven't I done this before? So again, all of the different things that you can do to change lifestyle to be able to do the healing. The fight against cancer really begins with that good plan. So here's some of the things that are part of the plan. Alkalize your body. Cancer can only thrive in an acidic body. One of the primary foods that we eat in the Western diet that is the highest in acidity, in the way that it changes the metabolism of glucose, insulin, the chemistry of the body, is sugar. So one of the first thing is if you've been diagnosed with cancer, you want to get off of sugar immediately. You want to get off of simple carbohydrates, white foods that are going to spike your glycemic index and then change your chemistry. Balance your hormones, specifically if the cancer is breast cancer, specifically estrogen. I've needed to fill that in because estrogen and the breast cancer are bosom buddies. They have a direct connection. The more estrogen dominant a female is, the more likelihood that she may have, I should go that way, for the development of breast cancer. If the result is a highly developed, high imbalance of estrogen secretions, then what you're going to want to do is you're going to work with someone of how can you negate those increased levels of estrogen, and perhaps that will be on getting on progesterone cream. There's many different ways to look at that. There's also supplements that we can take to be able to counteract the high estrogen, and there's also supplements that also increase estrogen as well as foods. So that's something to be familiar with. Also, it's always important to have just a parasite cleanse. And part of the reason for that is really we pick up parasites quite frequently in the food that we ingest. We can pick it up in the water, and what we can do is in an acidic body, the parasites can change the dynamics of the pH, change the dynamics of the immune system, the quality of blood, the cerebral spinal fluid, and all of those are the things that can help cancer basically not only grow, but potentially spread to other parts of the body. Detox, you want to remove the environmental toxins. What you will want to do is you will want to go in and look at mercury. You will want to do maybe hair follicle testing to see if you have heavy metals, and then what can you do from there? Change your diet, again, glucose, build up your immune system, lots of different ways to do that, lots of wonderful supplemental powders to be able to do that, lots of natural ways to do that. Part of the detox, lemon, lime, cucumber, apple, all of those things are very good cleansers of the blood, and then also cleansers of the digestive tract as well. The mind-body connection, meditate, create affirmations, and use guided imagery, and then exercise. One of the things is that when we get to a place where our body is being challenged, the first thing that we forget to do is to exercise. And exercise doesn't necessarily have to be a two-hour workout at the gym. It's doing Qigong, Tai Chi. It can be working with yoga. Yoga is a wonderful process as far as being involved in the healing, specifically around breast cancer. It has so much body, mind, purities and connection and so forth. So there's things that you can do that by doing actual stretching. What your muscles will do is release endorphins, neurotransmitters, and what it's going to do with those things are going to help the body restore its balance. So there's some of the things that you can do. And what I want to do is jump in right now. I'd like to take a couple of phone calls, and then I am going to continue this dialogue as far as things that you can do and see how we can make those lifestyle changes. Okay. Let's go ahead and take Caroline from Texas. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Carol. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you, hon?
My 5-year-old daughter has been complaining pretty regularly of a stomach ache that we just are not sure what to do. Her doctor thinks the only thing left to do is to scope her and look internally, which she said would be painful. And I don't know if it's milk, but it's seems to be getting worse now that she's in kindergarten, and I'm wondering if you can give me some guidance about what it might be, and more importantly, how I can give her some relief, because it's very distressing and painful for her.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So there's a couple of things that I pick up, and let me ask some questions. Has the doctor tested her for H. pylori?
No.
Okay, please ask for that test to be run to eliminate that before they scope.
H. pylori.
Uh-huh. The small H, P-L-Y-O-R-I-A, I believe it is. I'm kind of in my right brain doing this work, but H. pylori. The second thing is that she does have a reaction to milk. She does have a lactose intolerance that's developing. She has a nervous stomach. That's more psychological. She appears to me when I touch her that she's a little perfectionist. And so anytime she gets into a situation where maybe she hasn't done something for the first time, I can pick this up when she was a little girl, when she'd have to go out and be exposed to different people or situations. She just has this kind of low-grade nervousness about her digestive tract. So you can look at that as well. School, starting school, the whole part, there's some nervous part of it. Just talk to her, dialogue with her. Is there something at school that makes her nervous? Friends, maybe just ask her to, you know, kind of not interrogate, but ask her to share. How did your day go? What did you learn today? You know, was it fun? Was it this? And ask her that. And then she will open up and she can share with you things that are going on. For some reason, I'm picking up that there's a little boy that is literally irritating her, and I'm not sure that I'm not picking up that psychological component with her stomach from a deeper level. So you might just want to see what that is and ask the teacher or ask her, is there a little boy in the class that's just plain bugging you? And
there's
it feels like that.
Her teacher intervened for us yesterday. She was so distraught about a little boy who seems to be controlling who she can play with.
Yeah.
And she intervened yesterday, but it might not be finished. But,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, it just, you know, it's an inner irritant. And, you know, my sense is when I touch the little boy's energy kind of vicariously, being very sensitive and everything, he really, really likes her. It seems like his conditioning and MO is if you really like something, control it. I can pick up, you know, a dog or a cat. I can pick up siblings and everything. So the intention isn't maliceness at all, but it just bugs. It just is irritating your daughter. So I want the H. pylori. Now I'll go back to the physical body. I do pick up a lactose intolerance. What you will want to do is to really maybe wean her off or take her off of that just for a short period of time. Her body responds very quickly. Within 3 to 5 days, you should notice a difference. Also, when I go into the stomach and I can pick up the presence of milk, I can actually pick up almost like a wheezing, a low-grade wheezing in the lungs itself. That lets me know that we've got an allergy that is developing.
Okay.
The other part of it is that kind of going into the body, sweetie, and looking at the stomach itself. Let me go in and take the next step because, boy, her body talks very quick. I would like you to go in and read the symptomology of irritable bowel syndrome, IBS.
Okay.
She does not have IBS. I'm going to put myself out on a limb. I'm not supposed to diagnose, but I'm going to tell you. She does not have it. But she has a lot of the symptomology of IBS, and it may be through just that research you'll be able to find things that you could change from a diet standpoint. If we could cool her stomach, which is what led me to the H. pylori, maybe some aloe juice. There's some things that you might be able to look at from that symptomology that you could make a lifestyle change that could help her as well. When I go in through the esophagus and I go into the hiatal sphincter and I go into all the sphincter at the throat and I look at that, we don't have GERD. We're not having reflux at anything. So I don't have any kind of a hiatal hernia. I don't have any kind of an ulcer that's in the stomach. Her stomach lining feels raw. That may be part of the spasming. And that's why I picked up maybe there might be an H. pylori that is active. You can do some research on that so you know what I'm talking about before you even talk to a doctor. Because that's kind of your lesson. You have a wonderful healer about you, and you're wanting to put two and two together as far as deciding, you know, what creates illness, what can it do to heal. This is part of your journey as well. But look at those different things. But I'm not picking up any ulcers. I don't have any lazy sphincters to where we have any regurgitating. She actually feels like she's producing enough hydrochloric acid acid and betaine. The stomach chime feels like it's of a good quality. Her stomach just feels like it's just red and inflamed, and anything that's going to get in there is going to cause it to spasm. And that's why I wanted you to look at the symptomology of IBS.
Thank you so much. We're a lacto-ovo-vegetarian, so she does eat a lot of yogurt and cheese sticks. Yeah. And I'm looking for things to send her to school in her lunch, and so I need to remove just about everything I've been sending her lunch with her.
Well, okay. And you know what you might do is, because, you know, I'm always of the kind of the belief that instead of stopping everything, maybe it's the cheese sticks. Maybe
right.
It's the way that it's fermented or whatever. Of course, not trying to change anything you do, but anytime we, you know, change something, we have to change our natures to change everything.
Right.
So, and then the other thing is, oh gosh, it just came in. She says, tell mommy to muscle test me. So why don't you muscle test her with cheese sticks? Why don't you muscle test her with yogurt and see if you can start narrowing it down as far as what she can and can't have around the lactose aspect of it?
Perfect. I didn't even think of that.
That's okay. She just sent a message, sweetie, via Carol Reitberger. I love her. Give her a big hug and kiss for me.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. She's your teacher, my love. All right, let's go. That's
you.
So true. All right, let's go into, is it line two? Is it, please say your name for me.
It's Amla.
Oh, hi. What a beautiful name.
Thank you. How are you?
I am very good. How can I help you?
I hope you can. I'm considering taking acupuncture and, he's a really good guy, and I haven't had an appointment yet with him. It's next week, but he tested me a little bit, made an assessment, and he said my hands are very weak. I fractured my ankle almost 3 years ago, so my balance on my feet and my hands are very sensitive, and mm-hmm. the ring finger on my right hand, it's in so much pain.
Okay, so let's see. We've got a couple of different dynamics that are going on, sweetie.
Yeah.
So we don't go and kind of try to lump it into one big thing. From the bones itself, let's go back. Acupuncture would be very worthwhile.
Okay.
And part of the reason for that is that in the needling, what he will do is he will allow the chi from the crown to get all the way down to the coccyx, the tailbone. When I go into the back, when I go into thoracic vertebrae 12, the lowest vertebrae of the thoracic area, and lumbar 1 and lumbar 2, we have an old injury that's there, and we've got a little bit of a twist, and I think that's what's throwing you off balance from the standpoint of a skeletal aspect of it. But what it's also doing is it's creating an energy buildup in that area. And that energy buildup is causing it to back up to your shoulders into that brachial plexus. And that's the peripheral nerves that basically go down and animate the hands itself. So I think the acupuncture will get your chi running the way it needs to. It will be able to complement if you're going to do any kind of a chiropractic work at all. Please work with someone that's non-force. We don't need to crack. Maybe they might want to pop some of the air out. No cracking. Activator would be the best thing.
Okay.
Yoga would be very, very good from a stretching. That's going to help you with the ankles and so forth. What I'm not picking up, and I went in immediately with that, you know, the ankle part, is I was looking for a weakness in the skeletal structure as far as the bone itself, and I'm not finding that. It's just that you're just not seated in your pelvic girdle the way you need to, and it's causing you to be off balance, putting a lot of strain on the muscles, the skeletal structure, the ankle pronates quite severely in the right foot more than the left, and it's just throwing you off balance. So that's what I'm picking up as far as the ankle.
Okay.
What I'm picking up in the hand itself, I go back to where this energy and this kind of hitch in the get along and that brachial plexus. And if you go in, let's see if I can get in your body enough to do this. That sounds really weird, but I am. I'm there. All right. Let's see. I want you to go to right hand.
Yes.
And I want you to go just below the elbow.
Okay.
On the outside, and I want you to put some pressure in the muscles in that area, just kind of in that fatty part of the arm. And
oh,
tell me what you're
I feel something.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is, again, I think it has to do with the skeletal aspect. I think it has to do with the chi, not, kind of getting blocked in these two areas. The other thing is that I pick up some tendonitis. So you might want to go in. That's what I'm picking up in the tendon, in the elbow itself. What it's doing is it's causing you to roll your right hand out. Instead of it kind of straight, it could be maybe what you're doing from a repetitive standpoint, but it rolls it out and it's putting pressure on all the muscles and the tendons in the joint in the wrist. And that's what's pulling that finger. And I went in and I looked specifically for arthritis.
Okay.
That's what it has on the screen that you kind of put up there also. I don't pick up arthritis, but what I do pick up is I pick up the inflammation, and that inflammation probably has to do more with tendonitis. So you might look at things that are natural to quell the inflammation itself. You could do curcumin or turmeric. We have
Can
a
you
lot
say
of
the first thing again? What
yes.
did you say?
Yeah. Curcumin, let's see, I have to put on my left brain here.
Okay.
C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, I believe it is. So my apologies to all my listeners if I misspelled. I get in the right brain to do this work and ask my left brain for spelling it. And my left brain goes, you want what? I don't think so. But anyway, what it is the curcumin is the real yellow part of curry.
Oh, and okay. I eat that all the time.
Yeah, it's a wonderful natural anti-inflammatory. You may find that if you were to do an aleve or something, a lot, but do something like that, it'll quell the inflammation as well, and that's going to really, really help you.
Okay, and you're saying to do the acupuncture with chiropractic, or you think acupuncture will, because he's also a chiropractor, this man.
Yep, what you want is make an appointment because you will feel a tremendous amount of relief when you start kind of your whole upper skeletal structure drops into that pelvic girdle the way it needs to, and you're going to say to myself, why didn't I do this before?
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. Very
good. I really appreciate you.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling
me, sweetie. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. What I'd like to do is let's jump in and take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to be back and talk more about different things that you can do to be able to heal breast cancer and even lifestyle changes to be able to prevent the development of it. Stay tuned.
Like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
ContactTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, welcome back. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger. And if you're just joining me today, I'm discussing lifestyle changes that we can make, especially as women, to be able to help us heal breast cancer. I'm also taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about breast cancer, I invite you to call me at 877 230 3062. That number is good for U.S., Canada, and then also international callers. The only difference is you'll have to dial your international calling code. I'd also like to let you know that we just posted on my website, www.ritberger.com, the audio and the printable download of the September Your Health Teleclass, which was on prostate cancer. It's now again available for purchase. What you can do is go on. We have a new Try Before You Buy feature, a preview feature. So again, go to the website, put the cursor over Teleclass, go to Teleclass Archives. You can find prostate cancer there or on the homepage. We even have an icon. Click on that. It'll take you right to the page. You can listen to the beginning of the Teleclass on prostate cancer. Lots of cutting-edge research that I was able to find around prostate cancer. I had a couple of guests on a show about the name of the book is Invasion of the Prostate Snatchers. It's by a patient and a doctor. Fabulous book. So if you have a male in your life, again, father, husband, brother, whatever it may be, that's a wonderful book for you to be able to look at. The Dr. Schultz that is part of the book actually specializes in prostate cancer and really was very instrumental, not only in the book, but in the research I did to find a lot of new ways to be able to work with the diagnosis of prostate cancer. And actually now it's being categorized at three different levels. And unless prostate cancer is truly high risk, the old standard, you know, cut and remove is not the standard anymore. And they're taking something called active surveillance. So I share a lot of that in the teleclass itself and then also in the printable PDF. So I hope that if you, again, are interested, you just go to my website, read the beginning, the first page of the PDF, listen to the first few minutes of the teleclass itself. And if it's something that you find that you're interested in, you can purchase it directly at www.ritberger.com. I also have, this is the 18th illness that I've actually talked about through teleclasses and extensive write-ups on them, how to look at them, not only from a conventional treatment, but also from an alternative treatment and as a medical intuitive. And all of the different 18 illnesses that I have featured on my website all have a Try Before You Buy. And again, please do remember that if you click on the breast cancer icon for either the audio or the PDF, the download is free. And please feel free to copy the download, print it out, and share it with friends. I would really appreciate the information being out there. So when I go in and let's go back and look at breast cancer, I just got prostate cancer on the mind, the breast cancer aspect of it. One of the things that you want to do is I talked a little bit about the lifestyle changes that you can make, but the primary lifestyle change you can make is a dietary one. Why? Because food can contribute 40 to 60% of all breast cancer. According to Dr. Patrick Quinlan, a director of the Nutritional Center for, let me get this straight, director of the Nutrition for Cancer Treatment Centers in Tulsa, Oklahoma, what he states in his book is that by eliminating the food that produces the cancer or that actually causes the cancer to be fed and thrive, by eliminating that food, you literally can dramatically decrease the impact or the potential for the cancer itself to spread. In his book, Beating Cancer with Nutrition, he lists the top 10 anti-cancer foods in the categories. They are vegetables and specifically beets, spinach, carrots, and the cabbage family, such as broccoli, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts. Onions and garlic can also reverse the cancer cell back to a healthy cell. Interesting in that perception. Cold water fish, salmon, haddock, halibut, cod, and tuna, as they're all loaded with cancer, anti-cancer fats. One of the things that you will want to do is you will want to eat wild caught. And part of the reason for that is many farm-raised fish are literally fed antibiotics because of the close proximity in which they have to thrive and survive. And then also there's other contaminants. So one of the things that Dr. Quillen actually suggests in his book is eat cold water fish that is not farm raised. If you do find farm raised food, go in, research the farm itself. How sustainable is it? What do they do? Do they feed them antibiotics? What do they do? So that's another way. Another thing that he suggests is eating soybeans, kidney beans, pinto beans, because they actually have a cleansing activity that's associated with their soluble fiber. Whole grains such as oats, rice, millet, because their fiber breaks down into a butyric acid, which is a powerful anti-cancer agent. Now, a little caveat there is that as you're looking at the different things, the oats, you have to make sure that you don't have a gluten intolerance. Oats falls into the gluten intolerant category. So again, but oats, rice, and millet. Kelp. Kelp is rich in microbial agents. I need to get in my left brain, don't I? Hello, left brain. Okay. That keep the pathogens from invading the gut. Very, very important. Also, kelp is good for the thyroid because thyroid is part of the metabolism and the oxidation of glucose itself. Berries such as red raspberries, strawberries, boysenberries, blueberries, because they can actually cause cancer cells to self-destruct. Yogurt fortifies the body defenses against infection and cancer. Green tea, this is a treasure trove of cancer-fighting agents. Healthy seasonings such as curry or turmeric as some people call it, curcumin, because these are specifically known to impede breast cancer spreading. Distilled water, because it helps cleanse and dilute the impurities, stabilize the acidic acid alkaline balance, and actually provide a healthy flow of nutrients to the cells themselves. So 10 simple things that we can do on a daily basis that can really help us with the healing of the body itself. Now, he also puts in his books that here are some things that you want to avoid. You want to avoid processed foods. You want to avoid hydrogenated foods. You want to avoid pasteurized foods. You want to try to eat as organic as possible. You want to avoid microwaving, even if it's microwaving in a glass dish. One of the things you definitely do not want to do is microwave in a plastic dish. There has been in some current research a connection between the microwave, the plastic, and the carcinogens that are actually created from that process. And then you want to keep a healthy outlook on life. Most important, never give up hope. Oh, and this one I talk about all the time. Your body is an exquisite instrument. It is designed to heal. And no matter what is happening to it, it always seeks homeostasis and balance and healing. As a result, it's very, very important for you to believe that your body can heal itself. And when I talk about healing versus curing in my book, Healing Happens With Your Help, curing is when we walk to someone else and we basically say, fix me. Healing is when we actively participate in the process, create our healing team, stay involved in the process, do what is necessary in order for us to heal, but most important, trust that your body can heal itself. So some different thoughts on what we can do. Again, very simple, aren't they? That we can go in and just change the way that we live our everyday life. And then the other part of it that I want to add to his list is stop and smell the roses. Okay, before I finish up the show, let's jump into Leslie from Canada. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hi, Carol. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just wondering if you can give me some insight into why I haven't been able to lose any weight.
Yes, I can. Boy, you are just a wonderful open book. I love it. Just the minute you started talking, your body goes, hello, it's me. Tell me what. Okay, so let's go in. The first thing that I find with the weight issues that you're carrying has to do around hormone imbalances, honey.
Okay.
Now, usually people would hear me say, we've got a thyroid issue. That's not where I'm going to start with you. What we have is we've got hormone imbalances in your body. Have you worked with a naturopath or a doctor up there and had your hormones tested?
I have worked with a naturopath, and we did start on, we didn't test hormonally specifically, but I started taking some MACA for a while.
Okay. If you are open to it, you might just find out if that is a possible thing for you to do. But if you could get a panel to know where your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone is, then it will help you. It will help you and the person that you're working with to be able to figure out what's the right regimen for you. And so that's the first thing is the hormone imbalance that I'm picking up. That hormone imbalance is creating a thyroid imbalance. That thyroid imbalance, you're within the scale. There's no need for hormone therapy at all. But what I'm finding from a thyroid standpoint, but what I'm finding is that the hormones have the thyroid off, and as a result, you're not metabolizing the foods that you eat. The glucose isn't metabolizing the way that it needs to where your body is getting the energy from the foods that you're eating. The cells aren't getting the energy from the food that you're eating. So you're on a low side of your thyroid. But again, I believe that's tied to the hormones and not tied so much to the immune system, which many times it can be. So that's something to look at. One of the things also when I go into the body, food combining is very, very important for your body. I went in and immediately touched you to see, do we have gluten intolerance? And, you know, I can't come up that you do. But I can come up with the fact that the way your body's working with glucose, that you're having spikes of insulin. Did you have a urine test to see if your blood sugar levels were high?
I did many years ago, and they were fine, but I did something called an EIS scan, and that did come up that I am having problems with insulin.
Yep. So what you'll want to do is, I'm going to give you a little bit of insulin 101 on this. Insulin directly responds to the quantity of glucose we have in the body. When we eat foods that spike the glycemic index, meaning it increases the glucose in the blood sugar itself, then what we're going to do, it gives us energy, but the pancreas responds accordingly by secreting more insulin. And the reason for that is insulin is what binds to the glucose molecules, so then the cells are able to absorb it. When you have the highs and lows in insulin, and it doesn't even have to be a type 2 diabetes situation, when you have that, then what you're going to do is you get the spike, and then your pancreas reads it, well, I don't really need to do that much, so it decreases the insulin. Now we get the high glucose levels in our blood itself. So one of the things you can do, honey, is look at your diet. You want to eat fiber. You want to eat complex carbohydrates. You ought to be eating at least 6 times a day, if not 7 times a day. You'll want to eat foods that are naturally cleansing in the body. That's the color red in foods. Watermelon, watermelon tea, beets. Cranberries tend to be acidic, so what you'll do is most cranberry juice will have sugar associated with it. So you might want to look at doing pomegranate juice, black cherry juice, things that are going to help quell this kind of low-grade inflammation that I have that's causing this dynamic. So those are some things that you could look at. Fiber, very, very important. Eat protein for lunch. You might want to cut way back, if not eliminate protein at night for dinner, because what it's doing is it's causing you to have to metabolize the protein longer when you get into the sleep cycle, and that's also contributing to some of the weight gain itself. You're not, the food that you're eating is taking longer for you to digest during the night. That may also be part of the process. So those are the things that you can do. Let me go in and see. I started to say that was it, and then all of a sudden, I got this like, oops, you missed this, Carol, so let me go back in real quick, sweetie. So everybody that's listening, you are still on the air. Carol is going into her thinking process. Oh, my goodness. That was so obvious. So, sweetie, what's happened in the last 6 months? Have you got a job change? Is there tension at work?
I've actually had a job change.
Okay.
Gone from working in a very, very stressful environment to working from home.
Okay. So thank you for that. It was so obvious once I touched it, and you know, I thought it was done, and your body goes, you missed this one, Carol. Okay, so from that standpoint, when we get into a lot of stress, that changes the dynamics of thyroid hormones, the stress hormones, elevates the level of cortisol. You might talk to your practitioner you're working with about being able to do some cortisol management, some relaxation, some meditation. Nope, that doesn't work for you. You're too busy.
Very true.
I mean, you would sit there for 2 hours and I'd say, are you there yet? And you go, no, but my legs are numb, Carol. So walk would be very, very helpful for you. The fact that you're out of the environment. What happened 6 months ago with all this prolonged stress, give yourself another month or two. And you know, you just feel like you're going to settle into your skin. Things are going to settle in. You're being able to manage your food more effectively. You're not as much of a stressful situation. You can go for a walk. You can do some of the things. And gosh, in a couple of months, it's just almost like I see your body going, you know, I don't need to carry all this weight and be a protection. You feel like you're just going to start dropping pounds, even, you know, 2 pounds a week. Why don't you make that your goal and do it from a relaxation standpoint, first of all, and, you know, that kind of see yourself light and lighthearted and so forth. And, you know, your insulin's going to change right then and there.
Excellent. Okay, that sounds terrific. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Thank you. I have just a few minutes, but I do want to get Jeannie on the phone. Hi, Jeannie, line one. Hi, sweetie. We don't have a lot of time, but I would love to be of service to you and help you. How can I do that?
Thank you, Carol. Well, Glenn, who is 90, is in the hospital. He went in for a procedure and expected to go back home again, and it's been a month now or more. Things just keep cropping up. Mm-hmm. He's nearing the end of life. His kidney function is pretty low, and his heart failure is pretty gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering how can I best support him at this time? You know, what I have a lot of my own stuff to look after as well, but I just kind of wonder if he's just has to process his own situation, or if there's some way I can help him out with that, or...
Well, the one thing that I pick up with him, this is his transition process, sweetie.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, you know, this has been in preparation for really quite a while in his health standpoint. He's kind of a tough old bird. He keeps kind of bouncing back as he is over the course of time.
Yeah.
But this is literally his process. I mean, it's like he's already resolved that he's ready to transition. It's just literally going through the process of the body shutting down. But one of the things that I did hear very strongly when I touched him is the best thing you can do is to visit him.
Okay.
Because one of the things that he has worked through his entire life is his fear of being alone.
Oh.
And in this process, if he has, I mean, I'm already beginning to get that we have those from the other side that are beginning to visit him to help him in the transition from the standpoint where he knows that's going to happen. But he still is working on those last few emotional fragments of a life where he has been feeling very, very alone. So if you can just show up on a regular basis, daily would be ideal, just a high, you know, lift his spirits, do whatever needs to. Doesn't need to be a long time. Oh my gosh. Then he will remember when he crosses over that he really wasn't alone.
Okay.
And that is the best healing you can give him right now, as he's going to do this transition process.
Okay, I can do that. So,
yes, you can. You can, and you have an absolutely phenomenal compassion. You are a wonderful, compassionate warrior, and that's why he trusts you so much, hon.
Yeah, all right, good. Yeah. Am I going to be able to get him home for a little while?
No, you will not.
All right, then I won't stress on that. I will just go and visit him.
Absolutely, and then we'll just see where he wants to go with this, and he'll be the one that's in control of it.
Right. All right. Thank you so much, Carol.
You are so welcome. Thank you for such a beautiful, compassionate heart that you have.
Well, thank you for your beautiful work. I just love listening to you.
Oh, thank you. Wow, what a great way to end the show. I want to thank all of you for the show today, for listening, for letting me share this research. Again, please do understand that research has come so far with how we deal with breast cancer. The survival rate is absolutely phenomenal. One of the things I want to close the show with very, very quickly that is showing significant results in fighting breast cancer are these vitamin C drips. And what it is the saline that is used for these drips are glucose. Those hungry little cancer cells send out the message, me, 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 mine, mine, mine. And what happens is they ingest this glucose and voila, they have the citric acid, the vitamin C inside of it. And what does it do? It neutralizes the cancer cells. So tremendous research, tremendous results. Something else I encourage you to look to. And please do remember that breast cancer is not what it was 10 years ago and that the survival rate is very high. Simple lifestyle changes. Thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to share the information and my medical intuitive skills. I'll see you next Wednesday on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.rideberger.com. See you soon.